This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A water dilemma is brewing in Wisconsin. The city of Waukesha is asking for permission to tap into Lake Michigan for drinking water to the tune of 10.1 million gallons a day. Now, Waukesha is in a real bind. The aquifer that's provided most of its drinking water for the past century has dropped so far that what's left has unhealthy levels of radium and salt. So the city is under a federal order to find itself a new water source. And Lake Michigan's just 15 miles away from the city of 70,000 in the Milwaukee suburbs. But Waukesha has the bad luck to be a mile and a half outside the watershed boundary that encircles the five Great Lakes. And all of that opens up complicated questions that center on this. How do we balance the need for a public water supply with the need to protect the Great Lakes? Knowing that many states and communities are casting longing eyes on the Great Lakes is what led to the Great Lakes Basin Compact, and that was signed into law by President George W. Bush just before he left office. Noah Hall is a Wayne State University law professor. He helped to draft the compact, and he joins us now in the studio. Good to have you with us, Noah.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a refresher course on what and who is a part of this compact and why it was needed.
Sure. Well, a compact's a pretty unusual lawmaking tool. A compact is essentially a contract between states, just as you and I could contract in a private deal. Mm-hmm. It's a contract between states. The Great Lakes Compact includes all eight of the Great Lakes states, from Minnesota to New York. And in this compact, the states committed to several really key policy goals. First and foremost, they would not allow any diversions of Great Lakes water to distant states away from the basin. Secondly, when they use water within the basin, they would do it so responsibly, make sure to put in place water conservation measures, protect the environment, that type of thing. And then third, they would agree to a consultation and informative process where they would evaluate applications and proposals for new water use, consider them under some objective standards and with a fair process, and then subject their decision to judicial review to make sure that a court will sanction the decision they make.
And this, because it was signed by the president, has the weight of federal law.
Yeah, not only was it signed by the president, it passed Congress, and maybe it was a bygone era, but it passed the Senate under unanimous consent and passed the House of Representatives with a tremendous overwhelming majority. And it was signed into law by President Bush, who many have questioned the environmental record.
Okay, so I'm Waukesha. My longtime water source is tainted with radium. I'm under a federal order to get myself a new water source. I'm 15 miles from Lake Michigan. Water manager says 10.1 million gallons a day is the equivalent of a teaspoon out of an Olympic-sized pool. So why not allow me access to Lake Michigan?
So everything you said is correct. And first of all, Waukesha is very close to Lake Michigan. If Waukesha were, you know, we're in Oakland County, mm-hmm. or something, it would be just a suburb. But because of Wisconsin's rather unique geography, communities that are really just suburbs of Milwaukee sit outside of the Great Lakes watershed, which means when it rains in Waukesha, the rain that lands on the ground doesn't run into Lake Michigan, but actually eventually feeds rivers that lead to the Mississippi River. Mm. So first of all, while Waukesha is very close to Lake Michigan, nature didn't really put it within the Lake Michigan watershed. Secondly, you're absolutely right. The amount of water that Waukesha would be using, though, is tiny. It's really not even measurable in the scheme of the entire Great Lakes.
Which, by the way, is just a stunning reminder of how huge the Great Lakes is and what a resource it is.
Well, that's the truth. And frankly, that's really the point, is that if our only concern with water use in the Great Lakes is this going to lower lake levels or have a big measurable impact on the lakes, then nothing would ever register. The
right.
lakes are too big. Really, what's at issue here for both the opponents and the proponents is the idea. It's the principle. It's the notion of taking water out of the place where nature put it, away from the communities that surround the lakes themselves, and moving it to another location. And it's really the principle, some would say the precedent, some would say, this is a test case for how the Great Lakes region is going to treat its water.
And it's interesting because it is a city that is so close. It's in Wisconsin. It's not South Dakota trying to tap into the Great Lakes. It feels like it's family, or does it?
Right. Well, just to be very clear on what the law is and what the law is not, if this were South Dakota, Nevada, mm-hmm. Arizona, and of course any other country, The legal answer is absolutely no. The Great Lakes Compact strictly prohibits diversions to places, those distant places from the Great Lakes region. However, the Great Lakes Compact left open a very narrow window for communities that are in the Great Lakes states but just outside one of these basin watersheds to, for very limited quite limiting reasons, seek and use Great Lakes water.
So Waukesha is a test case for this.
Waukesha is the test case for this. And, you know, look, we knew this was coming. When we were discussing, negotiating, drafting the Great Lakes Compact, we knew the city of Waukesha was facing the dilemma that, that they're still facing, that their local supplies of drinking water weren't safe and that they would be seeking Lake Michigan water. And like all negotiations, well, maybe not all, at least most at the policy level, we decided the best solution was to punt it down the road. And the reason we did it is that if we had tried to make a really an ultimate binding decision on whether or not Waukesha would get its water, it would turn the Great Lakes Compact from really more of a cooperative policy that everyone was supporting to a line in the sand that would divide communities and really supporters of Great Lakes protection. So we did really, I think, the most reasonable thing under the circumstances. We left open a very narrow window. We defined the specific reasons and the standards, and we provided a fair process for future decision makers to consider the application on its merits.
Now, has anybody gotten in under this narrow window? Has there been anyone allowed into the party?
Well, no. There's been one other diversion, but it wasn't subject to the same standards because it was for a city that straddles the basin divide. Not to be too technical, but if it's a city that straddles the basin divide, there's one set of exception standards that would apply.
Okay.
If it's a community like Waukesha that sits entirely out of the basin divide but is within a county that straddles the basin divide, they have a narrow window left open for them.
So you've done the one. That was New Berlin?
New Berlin, exactly.
City. So you have the city. Now you have a city like Waukesha. So it is outside, but it's in a county with one foot on one side and one foot on the other, so to speak, straddling.
Exactly. It would be like Oakland County or something if the basin divide ran right through there. And frankly, for folks in Wisconsin, this issue isn't just about water, but there's a major city suburb subtext to this dispute. Folks in Milwaukee are really opposed to the investment of resources and infrastructure and probably new economic growth out in the suburbs. And folks in the suburbs are resentful that the city is essentially locking up water resources and preventing them from growing and meeting market demands.
And something tells me that this is scenario could repeat itself all around the Great Lakes.
Yeah, there's at least a dozen communities that are watching this closely. But really, you know, the test case, I think, is more about policy and almost even ideology about how we should be using Great Lakes water. These communities are not going to affect Great Lakes water levels. They're not going to cause the lakes to drop. They're not going to use up the water. It's a really narrow exception. And even if the test cases show that folks are able to meet this narrow exception, it's not going to be like the door is wide open to Great Lakes water for the whole country.
So what do we watch for? What's going to happen?
I think we should watch for several things. And frankly, they're the same things I always watch for in environmental disputes. Is the information and the facts that are being discussed correct? You know, are folks being misled or do they have the right information before them? Is the right range of values and considerations being taken into account? You know, are we consider? There's a lot of diverse perspectives and values at stake for the Great Lakes. You want to make sure that the process is taking into account not just one set of values, but the whole range. And finally, you want to watch and make sure that the process is fair. And if folks basically can see this unfold and see that the information that's being used is accurate, the values that are being considered are fair and inclusive, and that the process that's provided makes sense and is treating everybody equitably, I think we'll be satisfied with the decision, even if it's not the decision we would all make.
And all eight states have to say yes, don't they? If one dissents, it doesn't happen.
That's right. If one dissents, it doesn't happen. But in that way, the states really aren't the final say. As I mentioned before, there's judicial review, which means a court has the final say. So if one state holds out for political reasons or in legal terms, arbitrary and capricious reasons, A court won't hesitate to strike that down and essentially order the right decision to be made.
What kind of timetable are we looking at?
Oh, it's going to be a while. These processes move very slow. There's going to be the application through the state. The state has to go up to the Compact Council, which is the representatives of all of the states. There's consultation with the Canadian provinces, what's called regional review. So this is going to take several months at least to unfold. And then, of course, there'll be the inevitable legal challenges from all of the folks that are unhappy with the decision.
Noah Hall, Wayne State University law professor. He helped draft the Great Lakes Water Basin Compact, and we will be watching as the story unfolds with Waukesha. Thanks for coming in and talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks.